Hey, podcast listeners, don't know how life is for you, but I will say at the Walling House, things are cooking right along. It's a pretty busy season. I'm hosting several retreats for entrepreneurial communities. Rob and I completed our book, Exit Strategy, which is all about the psychology of exiting your business, and we are planning all kinds of talks and launch activities and all the things. So today's topic is about how to stay really connected to your family in the midst of a busy season. We all have these kinds of seasons. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, you go through periods where life is just like full on. Maybe you're in the middle of a product launch, or you are in the process of hiring, or there's something that's going on that's just requiring extra time and attention. So I'd love to share a few tips with you about how to stay super connected to your family, even in the midst of that full acceleration that happens sometimes in our business lives. If you are interested in joining any of the entrepreneurial groups that I lead, or maybe learning more about the Exit Strategy book, get in touch with us at zenfounder.com, and we would be happy to provide you with more information and resources. Take good care, and thanks for listening. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means. Sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs. And I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation. Hey, my name is Dr. Sherry Walling, and I am a clinical psychologist who takes care of entrepreneurs and high performers. I often enter people's stories when they are in the midst of a significant transition, maybe considering exiting their company or are experiencing a change in their life situation, maybe having a child, sending a child off to college, getting divorced, getting married. Like, these big transitions that happen in our lives take a lot of bandwidth and reshuffling in ways that affect us both as humans in our private life and certainly as leaders and business owners. And so the ability to gracefully work through periods of upheaval and unraveling is something that, you know, I spend my life helping people with, because it's absolutely for sure that we will experience significant shift in our lives. And the extent to which we can integrate those shifts and help them to be things that fuel us, that deepen us, that grow our maturity, versus things that like frazzle us and fray us and make us feel out of control, or like make us sort of sloppy in the way that we live. Definitely don't want to be sloppy. Something that I want to talk about today is how we can stay really connected to our family in times of high intensity, maybe times when we have something really big happening in our business, maybe we have a lot of travel, things that come up in our world that really demand a lot of our attention and our bandwidth. Most of us want to live big in the world. You know, we want to do things. We want to be in the room. We want to be with people. We want to see how far we can grow our reach and our impact and our influence. But most of us don't want to do that at the sacrifice of our families. So I want to share a few tips and strategies that have helped me and my clients stay pretty connected to our families in these times of busyness. And I want to be clear, this isn't about like hacking family life. You know, there is no shortcut to depth of connection and to the attention that we give to the people in our lives that helps to solidify the bonds that we have with them. We can't hack that. That is just something that we do in our hearts and our minds to make sure that the people that we love are front and center of our focus. But there are a few things that we can do to help create rhythms in our lives so that we do stay closely connected and in touch, even when we've got some competing priorities. So I come to this particular conversation, of course, as a psychologist who has taken care of entrepreneurs for a long time, but I also come as an entrepreneur myself and as a parent. My husband, Rob, and I are raising, at this point, two kids who are ages 18 and 14. At one point, we had three children. We were guardians of a little girl for 4 years. So we've been through some of our own family upheaval and change, and I guess I will just say I know what I'm talking about, both as a person and as a professional. So five strategies or things to think about that can help you stay connected to your family even when you're busy. The first one is maybe kind of obvious, but it's just having a rhythm of daily check-ins. So dedicating 10 to 15 minutes every day to make sure you have one-on-one time with each person in your family. And this can happen even when you're traveling. So hopping on the phone with your little one or hopping on the phone with your teenager, even I think honestly, when I'm traveling, most of my interactions with my teenage children happen via text. And that's fine too, just this dedicated, really intentionally focused check-in. And one of the things that is really helpful is not just to say to your kid, you know, how's your day? What's going on? How are you? But to really model that exchange of sharing by also offering some tidbits from your day, from your life, from things that are happening to you. I think when our children are really young, we do a lot of, you know, getting their ideas, their feedback, hearing from them. But as our children age, we want to kind of even the scales so much so that it's more reciprocal. There's more reciprocity in how we're sharing. So that can really bond us, especially to older kids. And of course, especially to like our partner. We don't want to just be a basket for their thoughts and ideas, but we want to be reciprocally sharing back and forth. And that's really important to just keep in mind, especially in these tight check-ins where we might not have really a lot of time, but we have 10 or 15 minutes really deeply focused time. We want to use it really well. So use it reciprocally. And then I would also say it's really important to maximize the micro moments. So family breakfast, bedtime stories, that before bed cuddle with your kids or your partner, really be so present in those times. Conversations during car rides, especially with older kids, a lot of juicy content happens when they're in the back seat and you're driving them places. So I think it's important to really identify that more than duration, consistency and focus matter in our life as parents and in our life as partners. We don't need necessarily in these really busy times to have hours and hours, but we really need to be all in and focused when we are with our people, and we need to be consistently available. We need to have this through line of check-in so that there's familiarity. You're not trying to fill in a gap of a lot of time spent apart. So number two, my second suggestion for really staying connected to your people during seasons of busyness is a shared calendar system. So we live and die by Google Calendar in our family. All of our kids have Google Calendar. So if they want to schedule something, like my youngest child really likes to go to the gym. So he'll put on the calendar, like, Mom, go to the gym at noon on Saturday. And I can like thumbs up, yes, or suggest a different time. I mean, it's frankly a great skill for our kids to be able to use a calendaring system that way. But it's also really helpful. It streamlines my life because we can communicate in that way and sort of see where people are going. So if our kids want to have friends over to the house or they need a ride to a friend's house, they pop it on our calendar. And it's just a great way to have everything in writing and everybody knows where everybody is. And it eliminates some of the strain for Rob and I of just like keeping track of things. So I think it's helpful to treat our family commitments a bit like a business meeting. You know, it's a thing that exists on our calendar. Time is carved out. It's non-negotiable. It's clearly scheduled. And we honor those times as sacred and as important. You know, sometimes we get in the mindset of treating our entrepreneurial or our business obligations as sacrosanct, like highly protected. And then we're a little bit smushy with our family things, like, oh, we can move that there, or we sort of treat them as more fluid. And of course, they can be, but I think it really matters to our children and to our partners when they see that concretized, blocked out time and space that's just for them or that's just for you to honor your commitment to them. I think in seasons of busyness, it's really important to delegate as much as possible. Things that don't bring a lot of life. For example, I really don't like to make meals. That's not my favorite. I don't enjoy it. And so we delegate some of that, or we pre-order some homemade, organic, like high quality meals, so that frees up more time. And I might spend that time driving a kid to lacrosse or a cello lesson, but it still is me focused and available for them. I think the point of the second suggestion is really just to carve out time very intentionally and block it on the calendar. Prevent other things from coming in. Like, don't try to do your hangout with your kid and also be doing the laundry. Like, hire out the laundry, be all in on that time that you've set aside to be with your family. Okay, number three, build weekly rituals. This is something that we have really loved doing in our family. Rob and I, for many, many years, have had this like Sunday sync where we sit together and look at the calendar and kind of just look at each other and ask some questions about like, what's your week like? What do you need? How can I support you this week? And we do a little of the logistical, like who's driving which child and who's traveling and what do we need in terms of like coverage for our lives. But we have this ritual of Sunday nights. We sort of set aside time to look at the calendar and look at the week and really get on the same page. So other kinds of family traditions can be a dinner night, you know, a Sunday dinner or a Wednesday dinner, game nights, weekend hikes, these rhythms where you're doing things together. Rituals provide a predictable and fun way to spend time together, and they kind of reduce the mental load of planning. Like if it's set aside on the calendar, that Google calendar that you're all part of, then everyone knows it's coming. They also can build momentum over time and create this sort of positive cycle of excitement. I schedule for my family twice a month something that I call fam dates, where we go and do something sort of I often keep it a surprise, but it's often very artistic or creative. So we've gone to a glass art center and made paperweights, and we've gone to a pottery center and made bowls. Like, we do things that are a little bit interesting for all of us. Nobody's necessarily very good at them, but they're kind of like, you know, as you would take someone on a date, like, I want to do something with you. It's maybe a bit of a surprise, and it's something that's fun for all of us. And so those fam dates happen twice a month, and they happen on a rhythm. They happen on a ritual. And sometimes my kids complain, but generally speaking, they're like, okay, fam dates are pretty cool. Like, who knows what crazy things mom's going to have us do, but we'll give it a go. So they start looking forward to it. And I think the consistency and predictability, it's never too far. There's never too much stretch of time where we're not present together, where we're not connected. And that's what rituals help to do. They're sort of these stepping stones in our busy lives where we know, our kids know, our partner knows, we're going to have this time together. Of course, date nights are a very common ritual, especially if, for those of you who have younger children, to get that babysitter booked and make sure you get, you know, two nights a month at least where it's just you and your partner, adult time, grown-up time, no kids, no distractions. Really, really important ritual. Suggestion number four for staying connected to your family during seasons of intensity is stay connected through a hobby. As I mentioned, my youngest child really likes to go to the gym. He's a bit of an athlete, and so he comes to the gym with me. He's 14, and that's just a fun way for us to be doing something active side by side. I'm a like sort of lifelong athlete, and so for him to kind of come into my world a little bit and begin to do something that I enjoy doing really matters a lot. Like, we're sharing in the activity as peers. My older child will also come and do flying trapeze with me, which also makes me very happy. So those are just examples of them coming kind of my direction. But we also have ways in which I join them in their hobbies. And this is different than like parents just sitting in the waiting room while your kid's in music class. This is actually participating together, playing together, doing something together, side by side. And that kind of interaction really builds friendship and connection. You're not just the driver, but you are a co-participant. You see each other. You see the things that your kid or your partner does well. You see the things that they're not very good at. And this fosters this level of bonding through play that helps you to step away from work, gives you that deep focus, and allows you to be more embodied together. Embodied connection, if you're familiar with my body of work at all, is really, really important in helping people to connect not just on the sort of intellectual, linguistic, cognitive level, but with their full selves. So again, whether that's going to dance class, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's participating in a D&D night, whatever it is that your family members are really loving, join them. Do it with them. And similarly, invite them into your hobbies and activities. Play together, be present together in the things that you love. That also, in seasons of busyness, keeps you as an entrepreneur connected to your hobbies. Certainly, as life gets busy, it's really easy for us to forget the things that we love or to feel like it's difficult to take time for them, whether that's biking or playing hockey, whatever it is. If we can cross off two things with one activity, that's really helpful. So family time plus hobby, and both of that is really filling your cup, especially in a season of busyness. All right, the last thing that I would like to suggest for staying really connected to your family when life is busy is to involve your family in your business vision. Let them be part of your world. Talk to them about your wins, your challenges, the things you're working on, the problems you're trying to solve. This can help them feel included and foster a sense of teamwork and partnership. I think it also helps kids to see what life is like as an adult. And we want kids to know that, like, it's pretty interesting up here, like that adulthood isn't just, you know, drab and boring, but especially for entrepreneurs, it's full of really interesting challenges. So we want to really indoctrinate our kids into that model by giving them a glimpse into our world. So for example, our kids have read the books that Rob and I have written. My oldest child is quite a gifted writer themselves. And so for them to read drafts of my work and for me to read drafts of their work is this lovely collaboration. But he's also seeing what my life is like as an entrepreneur as I'm writing and producing content. And that is a really wonderful bond between us. Our kids have also been able to come and see both my husband, Rob, and I speak. They have been part of reviewing website content. Like, they just sort of sit on the periphery, but they really see what we're doing and what we're trying to do. And that is a really, I think, important bond. It also, I think, helps kids to feel like they're really part of a family, not just that parents are serving as drivers for kids' activities, but that both kids and parents have some skin in the game. I get kind of worried about the ways that our families can be really oriented around kid activities, which is, of course, not a negative thing, but it's just an out of balance thing. So it's wonderful for parents to be phenomenal cheerleaders of their children, but it should also go the other way, such that kids understand what their parents are about and trying to do and have the opportunity to also be cheerleaders of their family members. So I think the more that our children, especially as they age, just sort of see the nuances of our lives, how we're trying to balance, what we're trying to do, how we integrate play, hobbies into the work that we're doing, how we cope with stress, how we set goals. Those are all super valuable lessons for them and really connecting because they see us and we see them and there's a deep bond. So I think if there's a way to summarize this, some of the folks that I talk with seem to talk about their work life really separately from their family life. And the more that we can integrate it, the more that we are fluid in really bringing our kids into our world and letting them see who we are, the better. But we also do have to be very strategic and intentional about having undivided attention. One of the, I think, biggest threats to our family life is the ever-present nature of our phones. And so if we can really give our kids and our partners our full attention for part of the day, every day, that's a tremendous investment in those long-term relationships and the strength of our connection. So I am really passionate about people being able to live full out in all domains of their life, to love really well, to perform really well, to make things, to have success. And if you are interested in how to deepen in that journey for yourself, please reach out to me, to my team. We'd be happy to talk with you about the services that we provide, as well as let you know about the books that we're working on or the other content that we provide at low or no cost. So thanks so much for listening and for being amazing as an entrepreneur and a leader, and wishing you deep and beautiful connection to your family in all seasons of life, especially the busy ones. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.